You are listening to BensTorah.com.
When it comes to doing other mitzvahs, you know, we talk about doing the mitzvah, performing the mitzvah, with the halachas that are involved. But you very rarely hear, when it comes to talking about mitzvahs, people talking about segulos, supplementary benefits that people get by doing a specific mitzvah in our Torah. One of the exceptions to the rule is the mitzvah of Shluach HaKan, to find a nest, a mother bird hovering above her baby birds or her eggs, sending the mother bird away, and then basically taking the eggs or the babies to yourself. So before we go into the psukim and analyze the actual words, what does Chazal tell us are the benefits of the mitzvah of Shliach HaKan, of Kan Tzipar, the concept of Arichas Yamim Vishonim, having longevity to your life, the concept of Ishus, if you're not married, it's a segula to find the proper shidduch. Being Habayis, a person wants to build a new home, it's a segula for that. For Banim, if you don't have children, it's a segula for having children. Geula, it's also a segula when it comes to facilitating the ultimate redemption. Brius, it also relates to the concept of being healthy. So when you have a mitzvah like this, that there's so many segulos that are mentioned Chazal in relationship to any specific mitzvah, you got to look a little deeper and say to yourself, why is this so special? Why is this so unique? Why are people so excited? I have a Kan Tzipar in my backyard. Come, be mekayim the mitzvah. What is it that is causing this specific excitement? Could obviously the mentioning of all of these segulos could be one of the motivations for people being excited. But one thing is for sure, the concept of Arichas Yamim Vishonim is mentioned in explicitly as relates to the mitzvah Kan Tzipar, as we're going to see when we read the psukim very, very explicitly. It's also mentioned when it comes to the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, Arichas Yamim Vishonim. So for this reason, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, when it comes to our attitude towards mitzvahs, Havizah v'mitzvah kala kechamura, be very careful when it comes to what seems to be an easy mitzvah, in contrast to mitzvahs which are much more difficult. You never know the power of mitzvahs. What you think is a mitzvah kala could be a powerhouse when it comes to a mitzvah. And what you think is a very mitzvah chamura has less power when it comes to what it accomplishes in Shemayim. So for that reason, it seems that this concept was a powerhouse, and I therefore want to share with you some interesting insights into the mitzvah today, halachically and hashkafically, to give you the proper format of how to do the mitzvah, when to do the mitzvah, how to do the mitzvah, and things many people are not aware of, and ultimately the hashkafa behind the mitzvah to explain why this in fact is a spiritual powerhouse. Now, the psukim, that if you want to look in your chumash, are contained in Pashas Ki Tzitzei, which is this week's Pasa Shavua. It's contained in Perech of Beis, in Sefer Devarim, and the amount of psukim that deal with this are, believe it or not, in actuality, two psukim. Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Zayin are the only two psukim we deal with defining the mitzvah of Kan Tzipor Shluach HaKan. I'd like to read the pasuk now for you and give you the halachic parameters of this mitzvah so you're able to get into this and you're able to see exactly halacha l'masa, what technically speaking this mitzvah means and represents as it relates to Chazal's halachic application. The first thing I want to mention to you, let's read the pasuk. It says, Ki yikare kan tzipo lefanecha bederech. If it just so happens you come across a bird's nest as you're walking someplace on the road, someplace as you're traveling, the fact of the matter is, Chazal point out, what do you mean ki yikare if it happens? It means that you can't prepare a Kan Tzipar, you can't manufacture a Kan Tzipar. It just so happens if you're confronted with it, not by your activities, but by activities of natural law, of bird making bird's nests, wherever they make bird's nests, if it happens to happen, then the Torah tells us how we can react to it. So one thing is, you can't prepare a Kan Tzipar. The reason I'm laughing is because I've seen commercials in newspapers, famous newspapers which you read, who say, whoever wants to mekayim kan sipur, we have the whole setup set up for you. Don't worry, it's taken care of. The problem is, if they set up the setup, and it didn't happen by natural law, by the bird doing itself, but they created the kan sipur, and they brought the whole situation into existence, and it's on their property, you're not yet to the mitzvah kan sipur, as I get more into the halachic technicalities. So we're dealing over here with a nest that was made by natural law, by bird making a nest for the production of its eggs, for the ultimate initially watching over the little baby birds in the first 2 weeks of their existence. So you're coming across this kan sipur, bederech. It happens that you find it on the way. Some say bederech seems to imply that you found it in what is called a rishus harabim. You found it in a public thoroughfare. This specific object does not belong to you. Why am I emphasizing this? Because halacha lamasa, there is a technical problem many people are not aware of, and therefore are never sensitized to. And that is the following problem. The problem is, when it comes to kan sipur, is that if in fact, on one of the trees in your property, you have a kan sipur that you found that was constructed there, not that you told the birds to do it, but the birds themselves did it themselves, can you be yotze with kan sipur on a bird manufactured nest on your property? I want to tell you a little secret. In the world of halacha, there is a principle that your property, your yard, your house, everything, your chatzer, is able to acquire things for you even without you having the thought processes that it should do this. Therefore, on a theoretical basis, if a bird decides to set up home on your property and builds a nest, your chatzer basically acquires the nest, acquires the bird, acquires everything, which therefore means it's not something that you found hefka, something ownerless, on the pathways in which you're walking, like in a rishus harabim, but it's something that's in your own property, you own the property, and therefore you own the bird and the nests and eggs found in it. Theoretically, if that is the situation, you cannot be yotze the mitzvah kan sipur at this point in time in such a condition. The Gedolei HaPoskim, however, have an eitza. And their eitza is that if you have, and you know, the birds many times set up nests in your property, and you don't want your property to acquire the nest or the birds or whatever it might be. You want the birds and the nest and the eggs to be hefker and not be acquired by your property. You have a right to make a declaration, and the declaration should be made in front of three strangers that my property is basically hefker when it comes to kan sipur. Any bird that sets up a nest in my specific property, wall that's contained inside, I don't want my property to acquire it from me with my mindset. I'm basically expressing a negative mindset. I don't want to acquire it. I want it to be in a state of hefker. And many poskim say that if you said such, and therefore your property never acquired this specific kan sipur, even though it's physically located in your chatzer, but your property never acquired it because you made a declaration, I don't want my property to act against my will, and if I don't want to acquire the nest, the bird, and the eggs, etc., it's therefore considered a concept of hefker, and if it's hefker, then in fact you can use that nest for the purposes of the mitzvah kan sipur. But if you don't make this designation, and you allow things to happen naturally, and you don't make this specification that your chatzer should not acquire it for you, you got a problem. Because on such a case, it's yours, it's not your kara, it's found in your property, it belongs to you, and the mitzvah cannot be performed. So therefore, klal number one, that if you've had experience in the past that birds have set up a nest in your property, you should make a declaration in front of three people, I'm being mafker, my property when it comes to kan sipur, I don't want to have anything to do with the nest, it shouldn't belong to me, it, the birds, the nest, and everything else. And by doing such, if the bird does decide by natural to set up the nest, you then come a kind of mitzvah of this kan sipur based upon the gzeres hakasav. This is the first major piece of information many people are not aware of, but I want you to know this because without this, the mitzvah cannot be performed. Now, you find the nest b'chaleitz, it could be on a tree, or a aretz, it could be on the ground, Eforochim, a Beitzim, in this nest you have either little baby birds that were just born within the first 2 weeks, or you have eggs that haven't hatched yet. For ha'emro vetzes al Eforochim. And the mother bird is basically hovering over, touching the little baby birds, touching the eggs, trying to incubate them. So therefore, emro vetzes al Eforochim al Beitzim, lo sikach ha'em al abanim. You have no right to take the mother bird and the baby birds together. Why that's the case, we'll discuss very shortly when it comes to Tamei HaMitzvah. But you can't take them both. What should you do? So the Lo Sikach is alav. You can't take the mother and the babies together. The mitzvahs asay, which the Torah has, is Shaleach to Shaleach Esaim. You first have to send the mother bird away. And we'll discuss how you do this. And then Esabanim Tikach Lach, then you're able to take the little baby birds or the eggs contained in the nest for your purposes. And Hashem says, if you do this, Laman Yitav Lach Arachti Yomim, you'll be Zocha Varichus Yomim Vishonim by being a kindness mitzvah. And as I mentioned before, the other segulos involved in this mitzvah is the fact that if you're looking for a shidduch, it will basically facilitate finding a shidduch. If you want to build a brand new house, it'll give you a segula to be able to build a new house. If you don't have children, it's a segula for having children. You're looking for gula and redemption, it's a segula for that. You're looking for brias for health, you want protection against COVID. And this specific mitzvah has all of these segulas contained in it. So therefore, this mitzvah, when it comes to folklore, is a very, very powerful mitzvah. Hashkafically and halachically, it's looked upon as a very powerful entity. And that's why it seems to have developed a tremendous chavivus amongst the Jewish population when it comes to the excitement. We found the Khan Tzibar! And he wanted a Khan, this is Shalula Chakan. It's because of this, it became a very popular thing. Now, I do want to mention to you some important facts that you have to know in order to be able to mekayim the mitzvah. Listen very carefully as I interpret certain words of the Pasha for you to therefore get greater insight. Number one, when it says you're finding birds, it's not every bird that halach l'mas you can mekayim the mitzvah. It must be kosher species of birds. For instance, pigeons, doves, geese, or ducks. These are types of birds that their identity is identified in kashrus as birds that are kosher and you're able to eat. They are the types of birds with their little babies or eggs that you can mekayim the mitzvah upon. There are birds which we call our suffix kosher, which are likewise able to be used for this mitzvah. I'm referring now specifically to sparrows, to robins, to cardinals, to orioles. A whole bunch of different type of birds that are a suffix, whether they're kosher or not. And nevertheless, Chazal say, for this mitzvah, they're kosher sufficiently to mekayim the mitzvah of Shluch HaKan. So you have to be a little bit of an expert, of a bird expert, to know what type of bird this is, because the bird has to be a kosher bird, and the children contained, or the eggs contained, in the nest have to be kosher in order for this mitzvah to be fulfilled. That is point number one, which I want to mention. So it's not just any bird, it has to be a kosher bird and a kosher nest with eggs and little babies in order for this mitzvah to take place. Number two, it says over here, Ha'em rovetzetz alef rochem. Now this is a little more complicated. People are not aware of it, and that is the only time you can mekayim shluch chakan is if the mother is hovering and physically touching the baby birds in the nest, or the eggs in the actual nest. If the father bird is doing this type of activity, there's no mitzvah of Shiluch HaKan applying to it, because it says, Tikach Esa'im, the concept is not taking the mother and sending the mother away. It's only the female species of the bird that this mitzvah is Mekuyim, not the father. What makes this a little more complicated, and I really mean this very sincerely, is that there are some birds that have a situation that the fathers do the actual hovering and touching the baby birds by day, and the mother does the actual hovering and touching the baby birds at night. I'll give you examples of these species. For instance, pigeons, doves, sparrows, the father's there by day, the mother's there by night. So if you have a nest of pigeons or doves or sparrows, the mitzvah can only be done at night because that's when the mother bird's there. It cannot be done by day because by day there's a problem. It could be the father bird, and there's no mitzvah that applies to the father bird. So this is a very important concept. You have to therefore have a knowledge of what type of bird it is, what type of species, to be aware of this. That's why some say that one of the things you should have available for mitzvah of Shluach HaKan is a flashlight. So you're able to see exactly what you're dealing with, especially if it's at night, and therefore make sure if it's on the tree, you have a nice sturdy ladder or somebody holding the ladder that you can go up and do what has to be done, because it's not only chasing the mother bird away, as we'll discuss very shortly, but also physically picking up the baby birds or the eggs at least three tefachim, approximately 12 inches above the nest. You got to be up there to be able to do it. So you now need a nice sturdy ladder, somebody to hold the ladder for you, and you also need your flashlight if this is being done at night to be able to see what you're actually doing. The big question is, when it comes to taking the mother bird and sending it away, do you physically have to do it with your hand, or can you chase it away with a stick? Here there's a major machlokas poskim. Some poskim said you have to actually physically pick it up and then send the mother bird away. Other poskim say, no, it's sufficient if you chase it away by hitting with the stick on the side, making a noise and chasing it away. That's sufficient. Many, many gedolei hador today use the stick method. They don't hold you have to physically take the mother in your hand and send it away. Therefore, many gedolei poskim in Eretz Yisrael, the gedolei hador use sticks to accomplish this. Therefore, at night, they bring a stick, a flashlight and a sturdy ladder, and somebody to hold on to it so nobody should hurt themselves. But the problem is, that's only when it comes to sending the mother bird away. When it comes to the mitzvah, habanim tikach loach, everybody holds that there you must physically pick up the eggs contained in the kantzipor, or the little baby birds in the first 2 weeks that they can't fly away, pick them up at least 12 inches above the nest to therefore acquire them momentarily for the keem of the mitzvah, habanim tikach loach. That is a mandate. I also want to mention something interesting, that when it comes to sending the mother bird away, that you have to do yourself to mekayim the mitzvah, to physically pick up the little baby birds or the eggs in the nest. There you can make a shliach to do it for you if you so desire. So that's a machlokes poskim. But what I'm telling you now is the maskana, what most poskim hold, halach lamasi, you can do when it comes. Now, when it comes to sending the mother bird away, it was the Rambam's opinion that you have to physically pick the mother bird up and send it away. It was Rashi's opinion that even using a stick or something else is sufficient. Most poskim rely upon Rashi against the Rambam. Using a stick to chase away the mother bird is sufficient when it comes to this. Now, we therefore see Talmidos that there are technicalities of how to mekayim this mitzvah properly. So it's not just that you're doing the mitzvah. There's a tzura, there's a halacha of how the mitzvah has to be done. And this is something that you have to know, something that's important to be knowledgeable about in order to mekayim the mitzvah in a halachically appropriate fashion. As I mentioned before, matzah bederach, you found it on the way. On the way usually means you found it in some type of rishus harabim. But I do want to mention that if in fact this happens in your backyard, in your chatzer, it belongs to you, the nest belongs to you, the eggs and the mother belongs to you, you can't mekayim kantzipor yet. What you have to do is you have to be mafker the nest, the mother birds and the babies, and that basically speaking, you can be mafker in front of three people that are not mishpacha to you, are not related to you or each other, as a way of being mafker this to take away any bilas. And if you want to have your property always under such condition, because when you move into a property, you say upon the trees and everything else, this tree and everything else in the chatzah belongs to me. It can acquire for me anything except when it comes to the kantzip, when it comes to a bird building a nest, I don't want my properties without my will to acquire the bird, the nest, and the babies in order to make it hefker for this mitzvah to be able to be performed in a halachically appropriate fashion. I now want to come, Talmidos, to something quite interesting. And that is, after you've heard the halacha lamasa of how, in fact, this specific mitzvah is supposed to be done, once you've heard these particulars of exactly how this mitzvah is supposed to take place, what I'm now going to do, technically speaking, is now come into a very interesting question. And that is the Tam HaMitzvah. And we'll see very shortly the Tam HaMitzvah has many, many halachic hashkafic ramifications, and you'll therefore see, depending upon whose opinion we hold in Tam HaMitzvah, that will depend exactly what is our obligation when it comes to doing this mitzvah. The chakira I'm going to have, and listen to it very carefully, is the mitzvah kantzipa, a mitzvah chiyuv, a mitzvah you have to do, and once you're told about it, you gotta run and do it and do it, like the mitzvah of putting on tefillin every day for a man, or taking the dalad minim. Is it a mitzvah chiyuv you gotta do? Or is the mitzvah kantzipor a mitzvah that, basically speaking, is a reshus? It's an option. You want to do it, fine. You don't want to do it, it's also fine. You're not obligated to do it. So this chakira, whether the mitzvah is a mitzvah of chiyuv, of obligation, or a mitzvah of optionality, this, believe it or not, is a machlokes in Torah Shabbat between the Babylonian Yerushalmi Talmud, the Torah Shabbat of Nigla, and between the Kabbalistic literature of the Zohar, which are different forms of Torah Shabbat. There is a debate between these two sources of what is the reason behind the mitzvah of Kantzipar, and depending upon which source you use, you will come to different halakha conclusions. I will later on give you a list of which posuk holds like which shita to explain their respective opinions, and I'll tell you what the majority of the opinion is, and the names of the gedolim who represent the majority opinion, but I want you to listen carefully as I make the presentation for you, and make this as informative, halakha lamas, enjoyable, hashkafically, and to therefore understand why this specific mitzvah has so many segulas, as I mentioned before. After you hear the Tamei HaMitzvah, you will come to recognition why this mitzvah is treated with such a kavod rosh, what severity, and such kavod by our Gedolei HaPoskim. Listen to me very carefully. If you look in the Talmud Bavli, in Masechtas Brachos, in Masechtas Megillah, and other places, you find that Chazal tell us that the mitzvah of Kantzipar is a form of human compassion upon the animal kingdom. There's the pasuk in the Torah, pasuk really in Sefer Tehillim, we recite each and every day, Racham av akamas av Hashem's compassion is on all his creatures. We are the banim Hashem atem Hashem lokechem, we're Hashem's children, we're the am hanivchav, the am segula, and we have a mitzvah halachta b'darachav of emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all the deeds and activities Hashem does. We have a mitzvah min HaTorah to emulate Hashem, to follow his derachim, to act like HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, and could obviously, based upon that, to act in such a way spiritually, to bring spirituality into this world, and to bring Hashem's divine presence into this world, and for the goyim to look upon us and see in our activities who represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they see the Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha V'Yarim Yimecha, they learn Yerash Hashem in reverence to God, because of this, with Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, all of this, Chazal tell us, is halachta b'derachav, if we follow Hashem's spiritual pathways, and follow his midos, as is mentioned in the Torah. So if Hashem is a rachim mechanin, has compassion upon his creatures, we also have to have compassion upon Hashem's creatures, and therefore, if you find a mother bird together with its baby birds or its eggs, so what does the Torah tell us? That if you take the mother bird with the baby bird together, that's halachically prohibited. And furthermore, if you leave the mother bird present, you don't bother the mother bird, but what you want to do is take the babies or take the eggs away in the mother's presence, what are you causing? You're causing tzar balechaim, you're causing emotional pain to the mother to watch its babies, either the little baby birds or its eggs being taken away from it. The concept of tzar balechaim, causing tzar to an animal, is an isa deraisa. Very psukim in the Torah teach us this. And therefore, the Rishonim hold that tzar balechaim deraisa means specifically Maimonides, the Ramban, Nachmanides, and many other Rishonim who hold that Tzar Balechaim is a deraisa, therefore say that the tam ha-mitzvah of sending the mother bird away first, so she shouldn't see you taking the baby birds later on, is a concept of compassion. By sending the mother bird away, she doesn't see how you take the babies, or you basically how you take the little eggs away that she just laid in the nest itself. So therefore, you're showing compassion upon the mother bird. It's the mitzvah of rachma of akamasov. And therefore, if that's the case, that is the reason and rationale behind the mitzvah, sending the mother bird away, and then, ultimately speaking, taking the baby birds or the eggs away. I will tell you, Rabbeinu Bachya and the Sefer Chinuch point out, so you'll say to me, so why not take the mother bird and the baby birds together? So besides the fact that even if you do that, but if you start using the baby birds and the eggs before you basically use the mother for food, you're still giving the mother anguish because she's in her presence that you're using her children for consumption. The Chazal tell us that besides that, and this is what Rabbeinu Bachya and Sefer Chinuch is, that there's another reason Hashem doesn't want you to take the mother and the babies together, and that is because of the ecological concern of literally not destroying the species of creature that Hashem created in this world. If you take the mothers and the babies together, you're literally causing an extinction over time of that specific species and creature Hashem created in Briyat Olam, and we have a chiyuv of Shemira of the breed, the Isa Baltashas. You shouldn't destroy the creation and therefore destroy the species of animals, birds, and everything else Hashem created in the creation. So for conservation purposes, these Rishayim say that's the reason you can't take even the mother bird and the baby birds, even if you separate them in separate areas so the mother can't see you using the babies, you're violating the conservation concept. So the only etzi you have is, because of Rachmanos and conservation, is to take the babies and take the eggs, but first send the mother bird away so she can produce more babies and eggs in the future, so the conservation and the maintenance of the species is guaranteed. This is a very important factor. This is the opinion of the Ramban and the Rambam when it comes to Tam HaMitzvahs, based upon the Hashkafa that's articulated in the Gemara, specifically in Masechtes Megillah, and Masechtos Brachos. It's in those specific Masechtos that we basically speaking have this specific concept mentioned very, very explicitly. And if that's the case, that halacha lamasa is therefore the reason that Chazal tell us that therefore there is a concept in halacha of therefore being very careful to therefore make sure that we therefore don't allow the extinction of the entire species. We have compassion on the mother by sending it away. This is their sheet.
You are listening
but however,
to
many
Ben's
people don't know
com.
Is that there is a yesedistik machlokes that exists between the Ramban and between the Rambam. What is the meaning you're having rachmanis on the mother by sending the mother bird away and then taking the babies to yourself? What is the conceptual meaning of this specific concept? And over here you find that the Rambam in his Marin Avuchim and the Ramban in his Perish Lechumish come to two different, very, very interesting conclusions. According to the opinion of the Rambam says what we're concerned about is the rachmonis and the pain being experienced by the actual mother animal, the mother bird, in seeing her children being taken away and consumed by human beings, that there is a psychological, emotional kesher, the Rambam says, between a animal and its babies, between a mother bird and its eggs and its little baby birds. There is an emotional phenomenon. It has nothing to do with human intellect or tzelem elokim. It's a concept of maternal love that a mother has for children, which the Rambam says is universal, and not only applies to a mother's relationship to her children as a human being, but the mother's relationship of compassion and love to children that are basically her animals, her animal creations that the mother created. So for the Rambam, it is animal-oriented. The concept of Tzar Balechayim for Rachmanut and the concept of the Tam HaMitzvah is therefore geared to not causing unnecessary pain to the mother bird in seeing the pain of her children being taken away and used as food, etc., etc., and being destroyed before the mother's eyes. That's why I send the mother bird away, and then you can do with the bird or its eggs, whatever you so desire. The Ramban, in his Perish L'Chumash and Pashas Chitzeitze, on the psukim that we just mentioned over here, in Perich Haveis, Pasuk Vav and Zayin, disagrees respectfully with the Rambam, and he says, with all due respect, if the Ribbono Shel Shalom did want us to have compassion upon the animals, maybe he should have asked us and was concerned with their pain that we shouldn't be able to use them as food. We shouldn't be able to consume them. We shouldn't be able to kill them. We shouldn't be able to, obviously, damage any of the animals that are created on the face of this earth. So the Ramban says, as far as he is concerned, the concept and the yesod behind the mitzvah of Kansipor has nothing to do with the mother's pain, per se, the mother of these little birds or their eggs, but the mitzvah of Kansipor Rachmanos is geared to the human being, the Jew, who is interacting. The Ribbono Shel Olam taught us the mitzvah Shiluach HaKan as a way of fine-tuning the Midas Tovos that we're supposed to possess as fine-fledged Jewish people. After all, we have to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it comes to his Midas Tovos. Hashem is a Kelchanim, Rarachim, Erechapayim, Rav Chesed. We talk about the Yugam and Midas. We're coming close to Yom HaNaraim, and we're going to be mentioning the concept of Rachmanis over and over and over again. Racham aval kol ma'asav. Since we hope and pray that the Ribbono Shel Olam should obviously treat us midah keneged midah, if we have compassion on Hashem's creatures, the Ribbono Shel Olam in turn will have rachmanis upon us and forgive us for our averus, forgive us for our spiritual failings, like a midah keneged midah. According to the Rambam, therefore, the Ramban, Nachmanides, the purpose behind the mitzvah Kansipur is to fine-tune our spiritual personalities, our spiritual sensitivities, our midas tevos, to have compassion, and to have compassion not only on human beings, but compassion even on members of the animal kingdom. Racham of al kol masav, the pasuk says in Tehillim. Hashem has compassion on all his creations, animal and human beings alike. We as the Al Nivcha who have to emulate Hashem, alach tevederachav, have to have compassion as part of our personality traits. And therefore, if that's the case, we therefore have to develop these midas tevos. And the mitzvah shluach hakan of sending the mother bird away and therefore showing rachmanut towards that bird's mother in order she shouldn't see the aggravation that's happening to her children is a way of fine-tuning our midas tevos. We know for a fact that Talmud Devara, written on Moshe Kodavero, was a safe in which the Midas Tevas of Hashem, Yugam Midas, Arachamim, that he basically showed how we can emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yugam Midas that Hashem does on his divine level and utilize them on a human level. So therefore, if that's the case, according to the Ramban, the concept of Kansipur of Rachmanis is geared to training us as human beings in the Midah of Rachmanut. If we have to do things, we do it mercifully. If we have to take the animals away, send away the mother bird, and then you take the baby birds. If we have to slaughter, we slaughter an animal in the most painless way possible, and through various scientific tests that have been performed through the ages for those who wanted to attack us and claim that we kill people, we kill animals with shita, with achzarias. It's been proven through various tests. During World War II, Rabbi Monk and others did these tests, and they were able to show that the amount of pain and trauma the animals suffer by our shechita is much, much less than the way animals suffer pain and anguish when they're killed by the way the goyim kill animals, when their animals are killed for the purposes of consumption. Therefore, even the mitzvah of shechita is a manifestation of showing our concern for tzar b'alei chayim and killing them in the most compassionate, merciful way. In fact, the Chasam Sefer says, when you make the bracha on shechita, the purpose of the bracha is to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for teaching us that if we have to kill the animals to eat them, we can eat them alive, we have to, quite obviously, eat them when they're dead. Thank you for teaching us the halachas of shechita with all the various halachas that are involved, which make this the most compassionate form of taking the animal's life away and therefore showing rachmanos and therefore utilizing them in the most compassionate, loving fashion. So it's human-oriented. It is not animal-oriented per se. That's a famous machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. There are a lot of Torahs written upon it, a lot of nafkaminas, which I don't have time to go into today, but I want you to be aware that that is the perspective of the Babli, in Masechtas Brachas, Megillah, and other Midrashim, and the Ramban. And the Rambam both agree with many other Rishonim, based upon the Torah Shlobal Peh, of the Torah Sanigla of the Gemara. That is the rationale behind the mitzvah of Kansipur. Now, why am I accentuating this? Because I'm aware of the fact that there is another source. And this other source I'm going to quote you right now, believe it or not, is based upon a Zohar. I'm going to quote you the Zohar, Tamidos, don't get scared. I know usually you don't learn a Zohar, but nevertheless, over here, you're going to be taught an interesting Zohar, because the Zohar says things over here which are so important and so significant, has a major halachic impact, technically speaking, on the observance of this mitzvah properly, and therefore I want you to hear what the Zohar says. And this is a quote of the Zohar, so listen very carefully, Tamidos. You will find the Zohar very, very fascinating. The Zohar tells us, and I'm quoting out of the Zohar, I'm translating it in English, that there is a malach or malachim that are basically in charge of different creatures and animals in the animal kingdom. And there's special malachim in charge of the birds, which are part of the animal kingdom. They're called, quite obviously, nefashos. There's a certain animal soul. These malachim are in charge of these animals. And these siporim, quite obviously speaking, are therefore under these malach's supervision. So says the Zohar, when Klaius will come along and they find the concept of Shliwach HaKan, the Mitzvah Kansipa, in front of them, so what do? We chase the mother bird away, Shaleach the Shalach HaSeim, and then Habanim Tikach Loch, we take the children, the baby birds and the eggs, to ourselves. The problem is that when we do this, the mother bird, quite obviously, is crying that you're chasing it away from its babies. The little baby birds have already been hatched, are crying that their mommy's being basically taken away from them. And this malach that's in charge of these birds goes up to the Bez Neshamayla and has Titus. You gave the Jews a mitzvah of Kan Tzipor, of sending the mother bird away from its babies and causing pain and anguish to the birds under my supervision. Rabbi Neshalam, Yerachim HaVakom Asaf, how can you give them such a mitzvah? So I want to tell you what the Zohar tells us that the Rabbi Neshalam answers these specific malachim. So says the Zohar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen to me. Doesn't it say, Racham Aval Kol Asav? You use that against me, but I do have it written in Tanakh. It's written in Sefer Tehillim. You say it in the Ashrei every day. What does that mean? Lama Gazata Ov Zushin Is Gasha Mikina. Shetzitza Mitzvah Shluach HaKan. How in the world can I therefore have a mitzvah that seems to counter the Rachmanis I'm supposed to have on my creatures? So therefore, I want to ask the angels and the members of the Bez Neshamayla the following question. So the Rabban Hashem says to them, Bizman she Yisrael mekayim mitzvah shluach HaKan, that when we're mekayim mitzvah shluach HaKan, all the mamunos, all the malachim in charge of these birds come, and therefore malam mitzchus on the birds. And what does Hashem do to respond to these malachim? Osef kochayos of Omer, He brings all the divine angels in his divine kingdom above, and in the presence of all his angels, his angelic entities in Shemayim, he basically says to them, whoever has kindness of my birds, that I'm allowing Jews to send them away, let them come forth and present their kindness in the Bez Neshamayla. And obviously, all the malachim are going to come and basically act as lawyers to present their kindness. But then says Chazal in the Zohar the following. So he says to the malachim, after they finish being malam eschus on the birds, so Hashem says to these malachim, Ein b'chem yishalam eschus al b'ni. Why don't you try to malam eschus on my children, on Klal Yisrael? on the Shechina, on my divine presence that's contained below in this universe. Shehi begalus, Klal Yisrael are now in a state of galus. My Shechina is in a state of galus with them. Kan Shalah, Yishalayim, the nest of the Jews, Yishalayim, is in a state of churban. But now begalus, and the children of Klal Yisrael are in galus and Gaish nations under the hands of Adonim Kasha Umasa'olam, under the despotic, murderous heads of the Gaisha countries where Jews have to run when they're a state of galus. Why is it, he says to the Bezdin Shamayla and to all the Malachim, why is it Mimavakesh Rachim Ilam Elaim Schus? Why don't you come to Bezdin Shamayla and Taina, how Hashem can you do this to the Jews? Why are you not being Malam Schus upon their pain, their anguish, their being tortured, them being subject to the plagues and sicknesses on the face of this earth, or being to physical torture, spiritual torture, that Klal Yisrael suffered, and amongst the highest, what happened during the Holocaust, let alone what happened in the Spanish Inquisition, and the Crusades, and all the other times of Gezeris against Klal Yisrael. Why isn't the Bezin Shomayla, the Malachim that are so concerned with the bird kingdom, not be Malam Eschus upon my kingdom below? So says the Medrash, the Ois Hashem, when Hashem therefore counters them, he sayeth for Omer, Hashem screams out, and he says, Lo Shi Yisrael Amano, I want the Malachim Bezim Shomayla to pray and do what I can do to save my children, Klal Yisrael, who are in a state of galus, and facilitate their redemption. Laman Kavod Shema, for the sake of Kavod, to the Rabbeinu Shalom's name. And therefore, by Hashem having this confrontation, Ma'ira Rachimim al Ashkina, there is an arousal of God's divine presence and Shechina in Shemayim. And therefore, Abanero on Klal Yisrael, his children that are begalus, and the process of redemption is aroused and starts to take place. According to the Zohar, this Kansipar phenomenon is not geared to having Rachmanis upon the animal kingdom, as the Rambam and the Ramban say, based upon the Bavli, which is Torah Shofer Shenigla. But according to the Zohar, this concept of a Kansipor is to allow a divine confrontation in Shemayim, and to arouse mercy in Bezdin Shamayla, that the Bezdin Shamayla and all the Malachim and all the celestial entities with that Kaddish Baruch Hu should work together to Malam Eschus and Klal Yisrael, and to cause the redemption to take place, and allow him to return to Eretz Israel, and allow the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and allow it to become the Yambas Segula on the highest level possible. Therefore, according to the Zohar, every time you do a Kansipur, what you're doing is you're bringing the Geula closer and closer and closer by your activities. They might be insignificant in your eyes, but according to the Zohar, by being proactive in the midst of Kansipar, you're not just helping yourself with all the schools mentioned before. You're helping Klal Yisrael throughout the world. You're helping the concept of redemption to take place. The ability for us to return to Eretz Israel, to once again become the Am HaNivcha, the Am Segula promised to us in the Torah. The removal of Shibat HaMalchias, the ability for us to fulfill our mission of being Mamlechas Kayin of a Gai Kadosh. We therefore have Kansipar activities arousing the confrontation in Bezdin Shamayla and having the ultimate psak given by the Rabbeinu Shalom. Save my Kinderlach, save Klal Yisrael, facilitate the Gula, facilitate the redemption, give them the divine support they need in order for them to accomplish the return to Eretz Israel and the rebuilding of Eretz Israel and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. This is the Zohar's approach to the Tam HaMitzvah behind the concept of Kansipur. I want you to know that according to this approach, the fact of the matter is that every time we do Kansipur, it's not for our own selfish purposes, but it's for to facilitate the Geula and Rachmonis and compassion to redeem Klal Yisrael as quickly as possible based upon the Zohar's narrative over here. Now, why do I mention this? Because I want to then teach you now that there were two gedolim, two major gedolim, that had, in fact, a debate a very important debate concerning which one of these specific makaras with a tam of Kan Tzipor, Shulcha Kan, is operative, is the one we're supposed to act according to. I will tell you that the Chavis Yair, one of the great early Achreinim, his name is Yair Bachrach, the Sefer was the Chavis Yair, he basically said the Ikatam behind the concept of Kan Tzipor is based upon the Kabbalistic Zohar's interpretation, which means when we're doing it, we're causing the Gula to take place quicker. Therefore, he held the mitzvah Kan Tzipor is a mitzvah chiyuvi. We're obligated to run to do it, because by doing it, we're helping to bring closer to the debate in Shemayim that it causes the Gula to take place on a quicker, more speedy level itself. We're there for chayavim that when we find a Kan Tzipor, or perhaps supposed to look for one, we therefore able to makayim this mitzvah. And I want you to know that the Gedolei HaPoskim later on that seem to follow this Mahalach, you find the Maharil holding this way, you find the Aruch HaShulchan holding this way, and you find the Birchei Yosef holding this way, and the Marsham holding this way. That therefore they hold, you're obligated in the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah chiyuvi. And this is the way they paskin in their respective svarim. On the other side of the coin, you have a gadol on the level of the Chasam Sefer. Rav Moshe Sefer, who was the gadol hadar of his generation of the 1800s. The great, great Rav Moshe Sefer, Chasam Sefer. In his Sefer, in Shelos and Shuvas, he says, I hold over here that despite what the Nister says, the Zohar says, the Nigla, which is articulated by the Rambam and Ramban, say, the mitzvah and concept of Kan Tzipor is predicated on having compassion on Hashem's creatures. Rachma Kalpasa, Tzab Alechayim. That's the reason behind it. And the Chasam Sofer, throughout his Shelos and Shuvos, has a very interesting principle he articulates over and over again. And what is that principle? What the Chasam Sofer says is, anytime you find a machlokas, a controversy between Torah Shebalpeh of Nigla and Torah Shebalpeh of Nister, anytime you find a difference of opinion between the Talmud, which is Torah Shebalpeh of Nigla, of them holding a certain reason for something, and the Zohar and Kabbalistic literature, which are telling you Torah Shebalpeh of Nister, so you have a Nigla of Nister, Torah Shebalpeh in contradiction, we have a principle, HaNiglas L'anu L'maneinu HaNistar L'Hashem Elokeinu, that the Nigla wins out over the Nister, and we go according to the Nigla Torah Shalapeh, not the Nister. Since the Nigla Torah Shalapeh, as the Ramban and the Rambam explain, say the Ika purpose behind the Kan Tzipor is because of the reason of developing either compassion and concern for the pain of the mother bird, or to teach us the Midah of Rachmanos, is the opinion of the Ramban, whichever one of the reasons that is, it's geared to teaching us Midas Tovas, or being concerned for the pain of the animal kingdom, Sabal Chaim Deraisa, that he claims that is the Ika reason, and we put the Zohar aside, the Ika is to teach us these Midas Tevas. If that's the case, the Chasam Sofer comes to a very, very powerful conclusion. If we, therefore, when we find a Kan Tzipor, number one is we're not mechuyev to search and seek for it. We're not mechuyev to search and seek for it. But if we happen to chance upon it, and we happen to have the mitzvah in front of us, whether or not we perform Shulach HaKan will depend upon one factor. And this I want you to hear, that according to the Chasam Sofer, if you want to actually take the birds and use them for food, or you want to take the eggs and use them for food, which means you really want the eggs and the baby birds. So then if that's the case, the Torah says, I'm giving you a heter, send the mother bird away, shalech tashalach ha'seiv ha'banim tikachlach. And therefore, you're performing an act of rachmanis. But if, in fact, you come across the Kan Tzipor according to the Chasam Sofer, and you have no desire for the eggs, and you have no desire for the baby birds, you just have the mitzvah Kan Tzipor in front of you, but I don't want to use them, I don't want to need them, I don't desire them, according to the Chasam Sofer, there's an irony. If you do it for the sake of the mitzvah, to get a schus for the mitzvah, but you don't care about wanting the eggs or the baby birds, So why are you destroying the peace that exists and the happiness that exists between the mother and its babies? If you're not doing it because you want them for food, and you're just doing it because you want to have a mitzvah, instead of doing an act of rachmanut, says the Chasam Sofer, you're doing an act of achzarius, of cruelty. You're causing mother pain and baby's pain momentarily by separating them. You don't want the eggs, really. You don't want the baby birds, really. So why are you doing the mitzvah of shluach hakan? Why are you disturbing the harmony and the love and the feelings of motherhood and babyhood between a mother bird and its babies? So therefore the Chasam Sofer says, if that's the case, if I don't want the birds and I don't want the eggs, I should not be doing the mitzvah. It will be counterproductive. Instead of being rachmanis, it will be achzarius. And therefore, he says, if that's the case, it's only your reshitz, it's an option to do the mitzvah. If you want the birds and the eggs, do it. If you don't want it, you don't do it. And you haven't violated any aveira by not doing the mitzvah shluach hakan. If you want to know the list of gedolim that agreed with the Chasam Sofer, you got to hear this list. It's a peledik list. Who holds like this? Going back, we have famous Rav Chaim Knivinsky in Eretz Israel. The Chazon Ish held this way. Rav Yoshev held this way. The Minchas Chinuch held this way. Rav Arbach held this way. And the Chafetz Chaim held this way. So when you come to take a list of who holds which specific shita, it would appear that more Gedolim subscribe to what the Chasam Sofer says. It's a mitzvah of option, rather mitzvah of obligation, like the Chavis Yor said. There seems to be more Gedolim following the Chasam Sofer and the Chavis Yor. So therefore, I want you to be aware that this specific mitzvah, therefore, according to most Pelskim, is one of a reshus, a permissibility. It is not a chiyuv. It is not something that you're obligated to do. And therefore, realize that that's not why everybody's so excited to do a Kan Tzipor. They might follow the opinion of the Chasam Sofer and all the other modern gedolim I mentioned that follow his mahalach. Those who go meshug about Kan Tzipor and have to do it and do it, whether they want their eggs, the babies or not, the halach is they're following the Chavis Yair and following the Zohar. So this is the reason for different minhagim of how we relate to Kan Tzipor when it comes to halach lamasa. I do want to mention to you that if, in fact, whichever shita you accept, even the optional one, and you don't listen to what the Chasam Sofer says, and you basically are invited to do a Kan Tzipor, and the owners who have this Kan Tzipor will mafka their property, so actually the birds are hefker, and the mother's hefker, and the babies are hefker, the nest is hefker, even though it's in their domain, if that was done, so says the Gedolim Paskin, the following. That when in fact you do the mitzvah Kan Tzipor, whether it's advisable or not, once you pick the baby birds up 12 inches, you're counting them. If I put them back into the nest afterwards and leave the birds and the eggs there, under such conditions, nobody else can be called to your nest and do the mitzvah another time. So says the Gedolim, that if you go to somebody's house and want to Makayim Kan Tzipor and the nest is Hefker, after you've picked up the baby birds and you acquire them, what you're supposed to do is then be Mafker, the birds that you picked up or the eggs you picked up in front of three people, and say, I don't want them to be mine anymore, even though I acquired them, I'm being Mafker them again, place them back into the nest, and allow another person to come along later on and do the same exact thing. They're kona from Hefker. After they are acquiring them by picking them up, they then, basically speaking, are mafka them, place them down to the nest for somebody else to do it. But once again, as I pointed out to you, the Chasam Sofer feels it might be hashkafically counterproductive because the mother bird might be very upset with what you did, and the mother bird might ultimately abandon her children if, quite obviously, you keep on doing this over and over again, which would cause tremendous tragedy that these birds would never reach maturity and would not hatch properly. So, quite obviously, you have to balance one against the other, but you should realize, halacha lamasa, there are two different opinions in the world of Hashkafas Yisrael, why, in fact, we do this specific concept, the Zohar's approach, we have to be proactive, and the approach of the Gemara's, mentioned by the Rambam and Ramban, which is more to teach us Midas Tevos. This is for concept of Rachmanis. This is a debate, an ongoing debate. So you should realize what's really involved in the mitzvah Kan Tzipor and realize the ramifications. But one thing is for sure, that if, in fact, the person does the mitzvah Kan Tzipor for the right reason, whichever shita you're accepting, we now understand why the Rabbeinu Shlom gave this mitzvah so many segulas. We now understand, especially according to the Zohar, while you have a segula of geula taking place, if you mekayim the mitzvah of Kan Tzipor, the way the Zohar explains it, we also understand if it's a concept of rachmanis, of compassion, of eliciting divine compassion for yourself because you're so compassionate to the animal kingdom, or perhaps this could be a segula that if you need to get married, Hashem should have rachmanis upon you and ultimately give you your ultimate zivig. Or if you want to have children, Hashem should have rachmanis upon you and facilitate you having children. If you need brios, you need health, the Hashem should have rachmanis upon you and send you a refuah shleima. We now understand why this specific mitzvah has so many segulas mentioned in connection with it, because of the divine ramifications in Shemayim. As Hashem sees how you interact with the animals of the animal kingdom and treat them with compassion and love, what this can mean in the world of Bezen Shlamayla, what this can mean when it comes to your life and the life of Klal Yisrael, I therefore hope that you now have a better understanding, Tamidos, what this mitzvah is all about, the significance and the meaning of this mitzvah, the power of this specific mitzvah, and hope and pray that the Rabbeinu Shlom should therefore be able to see how we're zar in this mitzvah, Kala Kechamura, Arichas Yamin Vishan, which the Torah promises for Kibbutz of Aim, and for the mitzvah Kan Tzipor, we should see the concept in Kibbutz of Aim and Kan Tzipor, Arichas Yamin Vishan, the Sinachas and Bracha from all the members of our wonderful Mishpachis, children, grandchildren, great grandchildren, Asaf Taldaros, and the Rabbeinu Shem should ultimately have compassion upon Klal Yisrael, and ultimately have the Bezdin Shamayla, as the Zohar says, come together and literally mispal and do what they can in Bezdin Shamayla in the celestial spheres to bring us closer and closer to Geula. May Hashem therefore beschus all our mitzvahs of Maisim Tovim, Olam Chesed Yibana, the concept of Chesed and Rachim that we're doing. Send us Mashiach Tzinkeinu in Binyan Beis Hamikdash, in Gulas Klal Yisrael, with Refuas and Refuas and Yeshuas, to save us from COVID and all the other types of Magefos that have inflicted us in this world, and bring us to a Tekufa Yemos Mashiach, where sicknesses will be eliminated, we will have total Geula, total redemption, Klal Yisrael returning to Eretz Yisrael B'Shalom, building a Beis Hamikdash, once again experiencing intimate Shchiyas, Shchiyas Ashchina, B'mheir Yomeinu, Amen V'Amen, Tamidim Tamidos. Have a wonderful day, and I wish you Hatzlach and Bracha in all that you do.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.